illustrator, so I spent most of the time sitting at the table drawing pictures. And now I have to face you and try to make sense, but also try to put pictures on the computer and try to show you different things I brought with. So I will talk about my new book, Robinson, and how I came to love book Robinson, which was the book before my book, which is a famous book. And I thought I would show you some of the pictures, so I wouldn't just like talk about the pictures you have in the book, because you can always read the book yourselves. So I brought with me the dummy of the book, so we would see how the pictures come to be. So if anybody's interested in art, you can always look at it. I think the pictures in this dummy sort of are much more interesting than in the printed book. But that's because when you print the book, you put it through the machine, and this is done by hand with a big heart. Okay, so this is the story of Robinson. Oh, I'm also supposed to draw something. But I want to say, like, if anybody draws here, this is always difficult to draw in front of children because they can think it's really easy to do it. And then if you do it as the finished art, then it, I don't really need glasses, but I'm more serious like that. So this is the story of me when I was a little boy. And I grew up, people sometimes say, can I sense a little accent? And I say, yes. They say, where are you from? I said, I'm from the country which doesn't exist anymore. And they say, what country is that? And it was a country of Czechoslovakia. And people said, you still have an accent like this? Said, yes. So this is a picture of Prague where I grew up, like many, many years ago. Then when I was a little boy, it was really like this. It was really like and dark and mysterious and sort of magic. And me and my wife just came from Prague yesterday, so now Prague is very colorful, and the bridge you see here is full of tourists, so it doesn't look like when I was a little boy, but then everything looks different when you grow up. And I'm supposed to press this button here, okay. So I grew up in a loving family. Both my parents were artists. My father was a young filmmaker, and my mother was visual artist, and my sister was making the fun, and now she made me for Robinson. She knitted this Sister Robinson she made for me. And
wait,
and
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Robinson, but she didn't know how I'm going to draw him. So she, actually with her, I was looking through the old photographs, and I was dressed up like Robinson, and she said, that was so much fun. And I said, that was a terrible evening, and I will tell you all about it. So this was like Prague Towers. This is from the book I did about Prague, and everything was okay until my father, when I was about 4 years old, left, and he was a filmmaker who was drafted into the army, and they sent him to China, but I didn't know where China is, and in China, he went to Tibet. And again, I made a book about that called Tibet Through the Red Box, because my father promised he would be back for Christmas. You can hold him if you want to, but okay, it's in this stuff now. And my father was gone. He said he would be back for Christmas, but it was like three Christmases later he came back home because he was in Tibet where he met Dalai Lama and had these wonderful stories. And I thought, I would want to be an explorer. I would want to discover things and go places like him. But all I got was Prague when I could go and walk into backyards and the parks until I went to school. And the school, it's really difficult to explain to kids today because it was not a free country, Czechoslovakia. And we, as the little kids, went to school and they would tell us about completely different heroes than we had. And we got these red scarves because we were supposed to become young pioneers, and they would tell us about all these different leaders of Soviet Union and the Sputnik and the Lenins. And we didn't quite understand that we were not supposed to be alone, but we were supposed to be all together because we had these big signs, workers of the world unite, and we were like the little workers of the school, I guess. And so this is the poster from that time that you're not supposed to be alone, but you're supposed to be with the other kids. Mm-hmm. So the things we were not really talking about was like books he really liked, which were like Robinson or Little Prince or Three Musketeers. We were supposed to talk about what was happening in the world, about the islands. We had no sea checks for our guys, landlocked country. So we were talking about the rockets on the island of Cuba, and we were having drills hiding under the tables because of the possibility of something terrible happening. So it was sort of difficult. And all the houses had to have like little flags, and the only place you could have time on your own was in the cellar. So this is from the book, The Wall. I tried to tell my children when they were little how life was, but it's almost impossible to explain. It was interesting that people were not supposed to paint things publicly, which were abstract or something. People were not supposed to listen to radio in public. So everything was done in secret, and also was reading of certain books. And this was really a difficult time in the sense that some books you would get from your grandmother, you would get from your aunt, you would get from your neighbor, that some books were recommended, which were about the struggle of people in the world. Some books were considered to be not appropriate, which was like Little Prince, about the people who are dreaming and being alone. And some books were even like dangerous to have. So it was a very interesting time for books, because you would have this danger of reading a book you're not supposed to read, and you would read under the blanket. So this was the time of the darkness. Then everything sort of opened up, and you could paint things, and you could read books. And this was in 1968, which still is a long time ago. It was like the most exciting time for me as a young person. Everything became colorful. All of a sudden, we had people who came to Prague, which was poet Allen Ginsberg or Louis Armstrong, and we were all talking about American poets, and everything was opened up. But then it ended in 1968, and there was a wall between what was country, now Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia, and the rest of the world. And I sort of left, it's a little picture of men flying on his paintings, which was really me going to America, which is up there. And I came to America to make animated films. I thought I'm coming for 3 months, and I've been here now 36 years. So it's like the opposite of Rebound Winkle, really. And since then, I'm interested in people who would alone go and discover things, if it's in science, if it's in geography, if it's in medicine. It's interesting because, you know, I'm making some film about me, and they said, how come in all your books your heroes are always alone? And I didn't feel it like they are alone. I was feeling like they are trying to discover new things. So this was a book about Galileo, who was a famous astronomer. I jumped one picture, and then there was a book of Charles Darwin, who also changed the way how we see the world. So this was a long introduction, I'm very sorry about it. Here we come to the, I find a button. So this is a story of Robinson. Our school had a costume party every fall, and in that time, we were like all hanging out as young pioneers, but we also wanted to be like pioneers and pirates at the same time. And we thought, because as a child, you can like put all these things together. And I wanted to go as all my friends. I had like 5 friends, and we would all go to this costume party dressed up as the pirates. And my mother was very creative. She said, Peter, why wouldn't you dress up as Robinson, because I was secretly reading a book on Robinson Crusoe, and she said, it's your hero. And I said, how would I do that? Like Robinson, and all these pictures look like really straight, because he had like, he was dressed in some skins, and he had like a long beard. And my mother was very creative. She went to art school, so she said, no, we can do it, we can do it. So I said, no, I still would like to be a pirate. And she said, no, I'll take this vest with the sheep. It was like a skin of a sheep, and then she had some coasters, llama skins, which she sewed on the leotards of my sister, and she this is one of her creations when she made a hanger, and she could make everything in a short time. And I think she was also a little bit frustrated because she was home with 2 kids and wanted to have every time there was something happening, she wanted to create something. So she dressed me up. This is very small, but this is me. with the llama skins. This is the sheep. We made together a bow, and she gave me some spear and some sort of wig she had. And then she painted. So what she did really was in the book. So she gave me the wig was like this. This was the vest. These were the leotards with the llama skins on it. That was the biggest problem because the leotards were slipping constantly and I really didn't like it. And she made me little shoes also like that. And she painted here on me and I had a spear. And then I had a bow. I think I didn't have arrows because it would be dangerous. And I remember I didn't quite believe it, but when I looked in the mirror, I was like really impressive because I had this beard and everything. So she took me by hand and we went to school and I was waiting that my friends would like say, wow, this is amazing, this is great. And we walk into the room and they were all laughing. So it's in the book that everybody started to laugh and everybody was pointing at me because they didn't read Robinson, so they thought I looked really strange. The adults, they immediately understood that I'm Robinson, so they, this is really smart, but the kids were laughing. And I was getting like, I was really hot, I was red in the face, and I thought, can we go home? Mm-hmm. Before we could go home, I got the first prize, and then like, this is the best costume. You can ask. But I didn't feel comfortable. I was feeling like now a little too sort of like it. Because when everybody's looking at you and they are laughing, you think they're all looking at you. They didn't, they were dancing and running, but I felt like I'm misunderstood. Is it okay to say that? So I wanted to go home, we went home, I went to bed. This is the view in the book when you're looking like a fly from the ceiling. So here I am in the bed. Here my mom brings me tea because she thinks I'm sick after that, I was like ill, and this is all the parts of the costume, and here is a book. And I fell asleep, and in the way, I found strength in the book, which now, of course, is convenient for the book, but in that time, I would slowly go to, this is the old covers, this is what Robinson looked to me in when I read it, so he was always depicted because he made clothes from goat skins and he was wandering around the island and he was completely happy to be marooned or stranded for 27 years, which really, then I found out that Daniel Defoe, who wrote the book, it's a fiction, so he made it, so 27 years, Robinson really wasn't seriously sick too much and was happy to be on the island, which is a long time. This is the origin of the book, it's 300 years old, so it fits into this library, almost. This is like a very old library for America, but yeah. Coming from Prague, it's okay. So, in my dream, though, it starts, the boy in the bed reading the book, and it slowly changes into the ship with the sail made of book, and then it's like a ship which comes to the island, because Robinson in the book, the ship, he's the only one who survives the ship wreck and finds himself on the sand of the island. And these are the sketches from this book. So this is not finished art. This is like when you just take a brush and it's a lot of joy in it because you don't really think about the size and these are the first things I was thinking I would say. And Robinson made it himself. He thought, oh, I have to find water, I have to find food, and I have to have shelter. And surprisingly, because it was written by Daniel Defoe, there are no mosquitoes on the island. And also, there is abundance of goats. So it's like interesting because there are like there's maybe some hint of some strange animals, but nothing is really dangerous on the island. And then Robinson puts goats to the good use. This is the finished art for the book. So you see how it changes, and he's wondering, how am I going to survive? And here the goat sort of says, don't worry, you're gonna survive. It's gonna be okay. And he's so strong and so brave and so self-reliant that he immediately knows what to eat or tries it by all different new fruits and builds himself a shelter. And in the storyboard I did for the book, I thought it's such a powerful book that everything was supposed to be made of books in the first version. So even the ocean, even the ships, even the island, it was all made of books. But then somehow it sounded a little too sort of, you don't read that much. You're talking about the book you read as a child, so that change. And here you can see how the picture comes to be. So he's here in his pajamas, because in the book I'm in the pajamas, and he is discovering all the fruits and plants and butterflies and birds and boats. So this is how I would do it, just in the brush. Then as an author, I can go on the research trip. So this was a research trip to the island. I went to all the islands I could. So this was island of Martinique we went to on research, and I went to Long Island. Well, if you're from a little country, you appreciate any island you can find. This is again from the sketchbook. So this is when you still play and you put in all the colors and then you have to make a finished art. So this is the finished art. Then I don't know why the fox is blue, but I guess there was something in the story, and I thought the fox was blue. And also because we had home, our son had a rabbit he left with us. So in the whole book, I have a little rabbit which goes with Robinson everywhere, so he wouldn't be completely alone. And this is the picture when he's really happy on the island, so all the colors become bright, and the rabbit is small, and the goats are purple, and it's like he then doesn't have pajamas anymore because he's comfortable, and he makes himself outfit from the goat skins, and he has an umbrella because it's so sunny, so he has to have like a big umbrella to protect him from the sun. That's from 1800 years ago. It was the idea that you shouldn't really walk without an umbrella. And then this picture goes with Thanksgiving. This is when Robinson makes a big feast for all his friends, because now he's really like the master of the island, and he invites the fox, parrot, cats. For some reason, in the book of Robinson, there are cats. He escapes from the ship. It's just one cat or something, but then they multiply on the island. It's never explained how, so there are cats everywhere. There's a goat, and they have like all this fruit he grew on the island, and they're having a wonderful time. And he's still afraid that the pirates were laughing at him, and that's why he's on the island. He'll come back. In the book of Daniel Defoe, it's very interesting because he finds a footprint on the sand, and instead of saying, oh, this is fantastic, there will be some people here, Robinson immediately thinks, well, this is like 17th, 19th, I think. He thinks, oh, people are here, this will be danger. And he's getting ready to meet people who are danger for the next 11 years or something until he meets some people. So for me, this was like, he's afraid that people will come again who will be laughing at him. And it was supposed to be like, he thinks that in the rainforest where he lives, and this is the real life, and he's reading the book, and he thinks they will come back. And they do come back in the end of the book, but they come dressed up as Robinsons, because by now they want to know more about the book, and he wants to read them the book. And they come to ask like if he's okay, and everybody's friends again, and the rabbits come slowly sort of vanishing from the picture, because now he has his friends. And then the last picture is how they flying in the balloon. And these are the pictures I made for the library in Champaign, Illinois, but it's for me, it's the island of the book, sort of with the butterfly, and there are these kids from all different countries reading together, so that's what, like, the ideal book would be. That's also from there. And then I'm going back and I'm going forward again, and this is how we do it. And this is also the same idea of the book and the island. This is the tapestry which is hanging in Dublin Airport in honor of Seamus Heaney, who's a great Irish poet, and the people who weaved it. And this was supposed to tell you, go read, it's good for you. I'm sorry if this was too long and if the drawing wasn't good enough. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much, and if you have any questions, I hope not. supposed to be like a plant, like the to show how much, how many plants are on this island and how many different things grow from this same island, that there are like things you don't even know, because if you, some countries have so many more interesting vegetables than fruit. So it was supposed to show that he's discovering all these things, and sometimes he doesn't know if he can eat it. And then he finds some old seeds and he plants it, and it grows and it's corn. But then the birds come and eat the corn, so he has to chase the birds. It's like he's got so much time, 27 years, so 1 year it doesn't work, but next year he has a good harvest. And then he does the same thing with everything, and he makes his plates and his table. And it's true that my little girl asked me, how did he sharpen, as a picture of his shelter when he built like the wall. And it's true that in the book, I knew that he came from the ship, so he had like all these axes and saws, but in my book, he doesn't. So you know, children sometimes have very, you have very good questions sometimes, so sometimes it gets too close. So thank you for asking. Yes. Well, you can do it. You can just like, you know, just don't think about it. It's like my daughter is doing art, and then I said, is this going to be a book, or are you going to have an exhibition? And then she said, Dad, it's art. So you can just like draw anything you want on anything you want, and then you hope you will have parents like I did, because when I said I want to be an artist, they said, it's okay. Yes, you have another question.
I have the answer to that
question. Excellent. Stay over.
You actually need to put your mind to it, and then you can do anything you want.
Absolutely. And you have to use your imagination and fantasy, and you can do anything. This is very good. I need to hear it right now. Sometimes you lose that perspective.
It's like, look.
Alexander Selkirk, who ended up as on the island, but just for 3 years, and Daniel Defoe, whose name was really Daniel Defoe, but he put in like that because it looked better. But he wrote Robinson, and it must be one of the best-selling books. But it's terrible in the beginning because he goes through all inappropriate things of that time. And then when I was growing up, the communist regime had their own version, which was somehow, I guess, the language was. Well, it was definitely more politically correct for that time, but then was yet another version, and there is a version with the ending with the cannibals, which I really wasn't impressed at all when, as a little boy, I was sick, and I was impressed how he was, what he did. There is the thing with Friday cannibals, and then it's continuation when he goes to Europe and he kills the bear. It's like all going on and on, because Daniel Defoe needed more money, so he was writing Robinson Crusoe, and he wrote Robinson Crusoe. He also wrote Wally Flanders. What is said for me when I talk about life when people were sort of snitching on each other, that Daniel Defoe became spy for English kings because he was in the prison for having debts, and then he went to Scotland, and he was sort of going to the pubs and bars and just listening to what people said, and then you, so that's sort of, I read almost too much about him when I was researching it, but it's true there are many versions of Robinson, and this is one of the friendliest version I ever
think. Question down
there.
I'm
sorry.
How long did it take to
write Robinson? It took like a year, because takes me a long time to make storyboards and to think of it, but then when I did the finished art, it's much looser than the other books I did, so it went very fast. But then I was at this time. Yes?
I'm an English teacher at the school down the street, and we read The Dreamer, which you illustrated with Henry Knows Why.
Right.
And the sixth graders are wondering, they have two questions. One is, before each chapter, you drew sort of three drawings that sort of prepared
right.
for the chapter to come, and then they get very excited in guessing mm-hmm. what is to come, so I'm wondering why it was arranged that way, and then the second question is, why is it printed in Greek?
Well, so this has nothing to do with me, really, because there is this wonderful designer, art director at Scholastic, whose name is David Saylor, and he designed the book. I was really just like the illustrator when I didn't know what the final book will look like. And I was so clueless that I thought I'm illustrating books with poems of Pablo Neruda, but it really was ingeniously written book. Then we just ran written these poems in style of Pablo Neruda. And it's all printed in green ink because Pablo Neruda was writing everything in green ink because it's the color of hope. Mm-hmm. And he used it as a sort of poetic license. So everything's green. And it was a difficult book for an illustrator because in the beginning, when I said, oh, this is a nice story, it was just like 10 illustrations. But then as what happens is that there are other illustrations coming up, and then there are these little vignettes for each chapter. It's a very beautiful sort of a structured book.
Do you your illustrations first and then add text, or do you have the text?
I do everything I can just to. The trouble is that, like what I said before, I, not being born in this country, the language is frustrating. I can never master the language to the point that I would love to write a novel, but I just can't do it because I don't have enough words. And in Czech, I had too many words, but then I... So I do pictures trying to explain what I'm trying to say, and then I still have to go to my wife and show it to her, and then she would say, well, it doesn't make sense. Also, when I have ideas and would want to tell it to somebody, especially if they don't know me, they start to be afraid that I need somebody like my wife or my editor to come and say what he's trying to say. So it's difficult to, especially at the beginning when I have an idea, to make that idea sort of obvious. Because you get excited about something, and then how do you make people believe in it? Well, so she knows what I'm talking about. Maybe, you know, some people, my little girl is Czech and she speaks like you wouldn't know that. Some people have an actual talent or intelligence to master the language. But then again, I'm sitting every day at the table doing pictures, so I don't speak to anybody. So if I would be like working in the bank and every day I would say, hey, well, actually they don't talk to people now anymore. I don't know. Some place where you talk to people. I don't know what place that is. Maybe in the library. Or in the bookstore, and people say, I know just the right book for you. And then they tell you what it's about. I would tell you what it's about.
Teacher
is good too. Yeah, those are important, teachers, librarians, people who talk. You have another question? Oh, no. You know what? You could also take over, I would appreciate it. Why you read it though?
Yeah, but I know, I read it already.
Oh, I see.
I still don't understand.
But that's what the publishers, that's why sometimes they think nobody will understand what your book is. You know, sometimes you have to read age-appropriate book. So some books make sense to you, but then you get older and older, you understand more, and then you get older and older and you understand less. But no, each book has got its time, and sometimes you can read something too early, and sometimes you can read something too late. So like where I grew up, you didn't have Pooh the Bear, for example. I didn't read it until I was grown up. So then it's a wonderful, beautiful book, but you don't have that same magic like if you read something your age.
Yeah, but I was like,
well, you will make sense of it.
Wait,
sometimes you have to wait for like a beautiful afternoon. You go to the park, then you read the book, you see the pigeons, you see the trees, and it all will start to make sense. So you just wait because you're young and you have many, many beautiful books and many beautiful experiences ahead of you. And then I can tell you, you can just go and talk to people. You are very good at it. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just looking that way because I think she's going to come in. Sorry. Yes? Oh, yeah. They, in this book, they even put a picture of me as a Robinson. And usually in each book, they put the best things you did in your life. So the picture I was showing is in this book. And then they have books about the author and then they write the book. Thank you. Yes? I come up with my ideas. The best time was when our children were your age, so then I did books about our daughter walking. Was Mr. Sonny's appearing, so walking around the block. That was called Malenka. It was down in Soho. And then, okay, so that's great. And then our son, he lived across the street from fire station, so he would be so excited by the fire trucks that every time the fire truck would come out, he would run around the corner. He was dressed up as a fire truck, so then I did a book called Fire Truck. But now they've grown up, so it's impossible to do. Yes.
I had a question. You were saying there are the right books for the right time. Is there a book that you discovered, a children's book, that you discovered as an adult that you wish you had read when you were about the age of some of these kids in here?
Well, thanks to my wife, I'm discovering these books all the time because I'm really missing the childhood here. So she knows really neat books on the flying people. Bobby. I mean, she introduces me to books all the time, which I'm really missing. Almost everything in history of American fiction books. So in the beginning, it's sort of amazing that I actually got published at all. And sometimes I think I'm doing something somebody has done before much better. This is constant discovery of books which were in the 30s, 50s, 60s, and people I didn't know about who were just absolutely wonderful. And sometimes I'm sorry that I'm rushing so much and don't sit down and sort of I could think of many, many books I'm discovering all the time. And it's really amazing.
I'm just curious to know what you're working on now.
Well, it's a good question.
If you're allowed to talk about
that. No, I'm working on two projects which are to do coincidentally with immigration. So one is from 19th century of people who came on the ships to America and settled and brought their fairy tales and their stories with them, which they had to make work in the new country. And the other book is an ongoing project about children, 669 children who were saved by Sir Nicholas Vinton, who was a young Englishman who was just passing through Prague in 1939, and it was window of 3 months when something could have been done, and he realized that he has to do it in a hurry, and he arranged for 8 trains which left Prague and brought children to England. And the children sometimes didn't even know because they were little how they got to England. They survived the war that way, and now they have grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And it's a very touching story, but hard to tell. And the inspiration was him as a young person seeing something's wrong, something's happening, and he did whatever he could to somehow to correct the situation. And he always felt sorry because he said, if I did have response from heads of states and Congress, I could have saved thousands. But that's supposed to be 1939, just before the war broke out. And I met some of these people who were the children, and then I found out that somebody I went to school with, that her sister, that her mother, she was supposed to be on the train, and the mother put her on the train, and then she couldn't leave her and took her out again.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like, all these stories, and the question is, like, you know, always in publishing, do you want to tell this to little kids? Mm-hmm. But I think it's an important story to tell in some form, I hope.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do you feel when you finish
the book? Oh, that's a great feeling. No, you don't know yet, but you know deep inside that you're done, then it still depends if the publisher will say it's okay. But I liked it in old days before, because now everybody exchanges pictures electronically,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really look like the pictures you paint, and pictures will be in the book. But in old days, you brought a whole book in, and they would like go and say, oh, this is, that was the best feeling, if you like. So that's a good feeling. Well, I think I tired you out.
There's one more question on the front
okay.
there.
Oh, sorry.
At school,
you know what I mean? Which one is it? Congratulations. Good luck with it. Well, thank you very much. I'm sorry if the, you know, it's still the best if you read the book and use your imagination that if you see me, or if you want to say goodbye to me. Make little drawings and give it to them, something about the loud noise, and then they would get the idea, the ears. Well, good luck with it. Sometimes persuading people is really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep my fingers crossed. I thank you very much, everybody.